Well, Lord, we just thank you for a wonderful time again, Lord. We thank you for all this wonderful rain that we've gotten here. Lord, we just ask you to take it a little bit lighter on Matt over there. He gets enough every now and then. We thank you for those slow drizzling rains for him to get that garden going good. We thank you for it, Father. Him and Mr. Harris, too, right there beside him. And we praise you, Father, that all the gardens are going to produce much fruit this year in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Lord, we just ask that you be with us tonight as we talk about some things that needs to be talked about, you know, respecter of persons, how shall we die, and all that good stuff. And we thank you, Father, for showing us things and opening up our minds to see and to receive and to give as well. And we thank you for it, Father, because I got a part. Everybody in here's got a part. They got a part. He's got a part. She's got a part. We all got a part in this body. And we thank you, Father, that we do. And Father, we just know, and we thank you for showing us all what our part is. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you're going to do tonight. We thank you for answering our prayers. We thank you for all the answered prayers that we've already had on this conference call. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for your anointing upon us all tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let's see. What is the date today? It's the 15th, isn't it? Today is the 15th. I change my sheets on the 15th every 6 months, whether they need it or not. And I had to do that today. What are y'all laughing about? I change it regular, too. Let's see, 6, 15, 17. Okay. Anybody got any prayer requests? I told Jeanette that one time. She said, Michael Hare, you're supposed to change those things. And I don't even remember what she said. All right. Who needs prayer? Maybe me, huh? Glory be to God. Testimony, then praise report, or prayer request. Y'all remember? Go ahead, Julie. Mm-hmm. You froze up. Oh, there you go. Okay, you broke loose.
Michael, I'd like to share.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you all for your prayers and agreeing with me for my trip I had this last week to see my family. I really experienced God's grace and mercy from the time, even before I left here, until I came back. There was a lot of... There's a lot of warfare going on. I understand God had me go back there for various reasons within my family. I don't know where I should start. God gave me a lot of grace. I stayed with my sister, my older sister, and her husband. And Lord showed me a lot of stuff that was going on there that I've been praying about. And my sister and I had some really good fellowship. Not without a lot of, the enemy was really trying to divide us up and cause some stuff. And, the Lord gave me a lot of grace and a lot of discernment and wisdom and some things. And, there was a lot of spirits of offense and accusing spirits there, but I kept, by the grace of God, Carrie and I were able to talk through stuff. And I kept pointing to the Lord, and I kept pointing out the accuser and where it was coming from. And, you know, both my brother-in-law and my sister are born again and have this, you know, been baptized in the Holy Spirit. So she was able to receive things when the Lord was able to settle things down. There was this stuff every day. The enemy just kept trying to come back with stuff, and we were able to get to some root problems that my sister was dealing with from childhood, And the Lord had given her a vision. I asked her if I could pray over her. We were up late every night, and one of these nights, I don't remember which one it was. I asked if I could pray over her and just see what the Lord was going to do there. Well, he gave her a vision, and through that vision, we were able to discern that there was still something, that there was a wound that needed to be healed and some other things, and we were able to get through all that. And she got some deliverance, and she got some healing. I know that she did. And the Lord used me there as far as showing the power of God through faith. And my sister had was getting a cold sore, and I asked her if I could pray over, like if I could pray for her about it. And I told her to put her hand on her mouth, and I put my hand over her hand, and I commanded healing and prayed over her. And about a couple hours later, I could see the redness was already going away. And I asked her, I said, "How's your cold sore? How's your lip?" She's like, "Not there. I think it's gone." You know, and I'm like, "Praise God!" I said, "That was the Lord." And her husband was, I noticed he was coughing and hacking and all that phlegm and congestion in the throat and sinus and all that kind of stuff. And so I asked him if I could pray for him for that. And I told him I had had that stuff, and the Lord had healed me, and he let me pray for him. And I commanded healing there. And the next day after he got up, I was just listening for it, and I didn't hear it. And, you know, a couple hours later, I'm like, How are you feeling? How's that congestion gone? You know, and he's like, "It's a lot better. It's a lot better. Thanks." You know, so the Lord was able to use me in some healing and some deliverance there. And I'm really, really awed by what he did there. And, when I went to the family reunion, we all went, there wasn't many people there as I thought there were going to be, but I prayed for God's will enough that the people who were going to be there, he wanted to be there, were there. So that was good. I got to see my cousins and my older brother and both my oldest brothers. And I would like prayer for my brother Mark, he's 67. He'll be 68 in August. He has a doctor's appointment tomorrow to have his lungs looked at. His doctor, where he's at in the veterans home, and a nurse told me they said that he has lung cancer. And you know, he's on oxygen, he's a smoker, and he's not in good physical health. He's got some other physical issues too that I've been praying and believing for. And God's really been softening his heart over the years as far as delivering him from unforgiveness and bitterness and rejection and all kinds of stuff. We come from that background. So I had seen changes in him on the phone. So when I saw him, you know, in person, it was kind of hard. He didn't look real good. But before I left with my sister, the two of us prayed for all my family members, all my brothers and sisters, all our family and stuff. And she was at a place there after some, you know, getting rid of some the stuff we got rid of and the doubt and unbelief. I really sensed that my sister was praying in faith, so that was really encouraging. So we prayed in faith for Mark, and I would like you all to agree that when Mark goes to the doctor tomorrow, they're not going to find any lung cancer. It's all going to be a big mystery. He also needs to put on weight. He's lost a lot of weight, and he needs to strengthen his bones and muscles, and I'm believing for that. I'm believing for God to give him a new stomach. He had surgery, I'm not sure how many years back, but he had been diagnosed incorrectly and given a drug he should never have been given, and that drug had started eating away in his stomach lining. So he had emergency surgery, and they removed a great portion of his stomach, so he's not able to eat a lot. So, that in a nutshell is what's going on with my brother Mark, and I want prayer for his health and healing. And when we're at the reunion, I sat next to him, and he was eating. He has a good appetite, but he just can't eat a whole lot. And he sits in a wheelchair, and the cushion that he has was leaking. It's like one of those air pillow kind of things he sits on, and that's for those wheelchairs. Well, it was leaking, and my cousins come from background. My two cousins that were there come from background of nursing, so they were right there and they were attending him, and he was loving all the attention he was getting and all that. So I asked him. I said, "Mark, do we need, should we look to get you a new pillow?" He looked right at me. He goes, "I need a new body." And I'm like, yeah, we definitely, we're all going to get a new body. I said, yeah, I agree with you. And he's been talking more about heaven. And he said the other day on the phone when I talked to him, he goes, God's going to fix me one way or the other. So that's kind of where he's at. So yeah, but he also, he made my sister and I, both durable powers of attorney if he can't make medical decisions for himself. So I've been taking that authority the Lord's given me and his authority and been praying and commanding, in the spirit for him and doing warfare for him. So I'd just like you all to agree.
I got a couple of questions. Has he given his life to the Lord?
I can't answer that. We're brought up in the Christian faith, and I know he believes, and he's prayed with me and stuff, and I can't answer that. I know God's doing a good work there.
Okay. Is he still smoking?
He was when I was there, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's just pray then. Amen. You want to pray or you want me to?
Would you please?
Yes, I will. Yes, I will.
And anybody else, if the Lord is showing you anything there too.
Okay. Well, Lord, we lift up Mark to you. Lord, I know sometimes that people think they're saved because of whatever they did before, but Father, you know where his heart is. And Lord, I just ask that you draw him to you in a mighty way. Grant repentance to him in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you that he's going to be in because we prayed the prayer of faith and everybody here believes it. Now, amen. Upon that, in the name of Jesus right now, I come against that cigarette addiction right now. In Jesus' name, I command it to go from Mark's body. In Jesus' name, right now, I command you, you spirit of addiction, you go from Mark. You don't have any right there in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, from this point on, every cigarette that he puts in his mouth is going to make him sick. And we thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus, now I come against this spirit of cancer on him. In the name of Jesus, lung cancer, any kind of cancer, I command you to go from him right now. You spirit of cancer, you go. I don't care what you call yourself, you got to go. All cancers, leave his body right now in Jesus' name. And the spirit of the fear of cancer, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you go from his body. And all that you have torn from that man right now, we command it to be restored as new in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Father, that you're doing that. Now, you spirit of death on that man, you go in the name of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, you go. And Father, we thank you that you are also miraculously replacing his stomach and anything else that might be missing in his body that the enemy has taken from him. We ask that you restore it as new. And Father, that he would be a living testimony to your grace and your mercy upon his life, Lord, that he would be telling everybody what you have done for him, Father. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to make a mighty man of God yet out of Mark in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we ain't putting you in a box regarding Mark. We just believe. We believe that you're doing a mighty work in that man's spirit life and also his body in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to confound the doctors when he goes to this checkup. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Y'all believe that?
Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We've seen cancer cured right here, praying for people on conference call.
Amen. He's healed.
Amen. That's right. And you can call him and tell him that, too. Tell him we got a bunch of believers.
I will.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Anybody else want to pray? Let me get Charlie and Linda in there. Anybody else that got a testimony, praise report? Boy, I got one. We got a big rain yesterday and the day before. We got a good rain. Glory to God, man, them vegetables is taking off. I'm talking about Kroger's been beating my door down trying to get them produce out of my little old garden. Pulling up semis up on top of this mountain up here wanting them maters and stuff. I'm telling you, we grow some stuff up here now. Uh-oh. What? You say my nose is growing? Okay. Missy, quit that yet. Oh, no, we have a lot of fun with that, with this garden. We do have a great looking garden. Brandy will tell you. Brandy's got pictures. Brandy's got videos. I'm telling you, we do. We got some good gardens there. All right. Anybody else? Okay, Matt.
This is kind of a simple testimony of how great the Lord is. I changed the oil in our 4Runner probably about 5-6 months ago. And forgot to put the oil fill cap back on. And so, you know, I drove it to work that day and realized I didn't have an oil cap on it. And I was like, oh, shoot, I have to go get one. So I got one and put it on there. And I changed the oil the other day. And it's been driven probably about 7,000 miles or so. I'm changing the oil on it. And there I noticed there's the old oil cap still sitting on the battery. And I'm just sitting there looking like, wow, Lord. You either kept it there or you just put it there, you know. Because, I mean, 7,000 miles, there's uphills, downhills, bumps, everything, you know. And it's still there. It hasn't moved.
Was that in the car or the Toyota?
That was in the white one.
Okay.
And it was just sitting there right on the battery, like, you know. I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. Now I got an extra one.
Well, I can't say anything. I've done the same thing. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Vanessa, go ahead. You want me to unmute you?
Okay. Are you hearing me now?
Yes, ma'am. You just muted yourself again. I don't know how that happened.
Sorry.
I got it.
Oh.
Well, you did it again. Or I did it or somebody did it. I don't know. Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Okay.
Okay, we got you.
Okay, I want to I have a praise report that God has been doing recently. And out there where we are, and also he's been just showing me things in my life that I needed to repent of, and just shining the light on things, you know, that are in darkness. And so it's a good thing, and so I just wanted to thank him for that. He has been showing me things that today, actually, about being self-willed. And I think actually all my life, as far back as I can remember, that's been a problem. But I trust him that he's taking care of it and everything as I'm repenting of it. And so I just wanted to praise him for that.
Amen. Amen. That self is hard to get rid of a lot of times. But God will do it. He is doing it.
Yeah. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for cleaning us all up, getting rid of that garbage in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Mm-hmm. Who was it had that dream, Vanessa, about sweeping the garbage out? Remember that? David told us. Yeah, somebody did. Getting rid of the garbage. Okay. All right, anybody else? Thank you, Vanessa. Got anything else?
No.
Had any dreams?
A little bit.
Good dreams?
Had some of them.
Okay. When you get ready, share them.
Okay.
All right.
Actually, I had a dream about you, but back in Cookville.
Keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself.
Keep it to myself?
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Because I was going to tell you when you were talking about the dream about the snake by you, I'd had a dream that there was a snake that was red, but it was real thin. It seemed like, I don't know, because it was so thin, it seemed like it couldn't do anything. But it was by you, by your feet, and I saw it, and I told you, and you picked up these shears and cut it in half real fast.
That's a
so
good
when you
dream.
Told me that, I thought I should tell you, and I hadn't.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good dream. We like those.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we like those. Amen. We slashed that dude right in half. Red one.
Yeah.
Okay. I can see Missy was about to bust.
Well, it made me think of Satan himself and how puny he really is.
There you go. We got that authority. Mm. We have that authority. We can slice him in half with the word, can't we?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. I was reading about that probably this morning, I think it was, about using the sword of the Spirit. Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody else? Sandy had a dream. I think it was Sandy. Yeah, Sandy had a dream. And the dream was, there was a buckboard, and she didn't know whether it was mules or horses that was pulling the buckboard. Did she tell you, Missy? And it was headed up the hill. And I was driving the mules or horses or whatever, the team. I was driving the team, and David was sitting beside me, and there was a family in the back with a bed and a little dresser or something in the buckboard, but the kids was all over the place. She didn't know who it was. She didn't know, you know. She just didn't know. And the UBM people were walking beside it. It was going up the hill, okay? But they were walking beside it, holding a hand and back to the next person holding a hand, and everybody was praying. As we was going up the mountain, we were praying this family up the mountain, praying the family up the mountain. And the first thing I thought of was, we're praying for the people that have stumbled here in UBM. But then David came across with his version of it, and which always... And I always listen to him because he does that for a living, you know. I mean, he does that. That's what God shows him, all that stuff. I didn't mean it that way, Missy. But anyway, He said he thought it might mean that the, you know, the family members we've been praying for. He said he thinks that's what it is that it could be both, you know, but our family members, the family members of everybody, in, even y'all in the UBM was praying. We've been praying for, we're taking them up to the mountain, and the buckboard got all the way up to the mountain. There was one little hump to go, and we got over the hump. So we just keep on believing, don't we? And we know that our family members are coming in, every one of them that we're prayed for, that we prayed for and we're standing and enduring in our faith for. They're going to come in. Yeah, Matt.
That wasn't Sandy's dream.
Who was that? That's yours?
That was Merlene's.
Merlene's? Okay. Thank you for your correction, brother. Okay. Well, I thought it was Sandy's. Okay. No biggie. But it was a good dream. It's a good dream. That's right. She shared that in Bible study yesterday, didn't she? Okay. Yeah, you're right. First time, though. Just kidding. All right. Anybody else? I thought that was an excellent dream. We talked about that yesterday, David, or it might have been this morning. Anyway, we talked about that this morning. He said, that sounds to me like it's our family members that we've been praying for all these many years are going to come in, you know. I believe it. We've been plodding along up the mountain, praying and believing, and we're hauling in that buckboard up there to the top of the mountain. Praise God. That sounds good to me. All right. Anybody else got a comment, testimony, praise report, or a prayer? I'd like to pray. My wife has a doctor's appointment Monday morning to get a blood work done, whatever blood work done is. I think they take your blood and try to find out what's wrong with you. And I want to pray for that and have y'all believe with me that they ain't going to find nothing. Lord, I just lift up Jeanette to you. And I thank you, Lord, for the work you're doing in her. Lord, she's trying with that faith, but she's been working with the doctors for many years, Lord, and it's hard. And I ask that you have grace and you have mercy upon her, Lord, to show her that it's you that does the healing. These doctors can't do anything but put a Band-Aid on it. And I ask and I pray, Lord, that when she goes to those doctors and gets that blood work done, they take the blood out and they look at it, it's going to be healthy. And they're gonna be in amazement how healthy she is. And I thank you for it, Father. And then Wednesday, Lord, when she has that other stuff done, I praise you, Lord, that they're not going to find any more in those tests they're going to do Wednesday in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus, I think they're going to go find out if she's been bleeding internally. Lord, she ain't bleeding internally because we prayed the prayer of faith. In the name of Jesus, there ain't no bleeding going on internally. Matter of fact, she's healed. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that she's getting off of that oxygen, too. I thank you, Lord, for doing that for her. She's working that faith, Lord. She'll go, you know, for a whole day without using oxygen just to show the devil that he ain't got her. And I thank you, Lord, that you're showing her and teaching her faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I cherish the day when she comes out here and meets all these lovely people. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else?
I can't wait to meet her.
Huh?
I can't wait to meet her.
Oh, you'd love her. You'd love her. She's a little bitty like, short like Merlene and Judy. I think she said last time they measured her, she was 4'11". She was 5'2", but, you know, she's been through a lot. Weighs about 110, I guess, or so. All right, anybody else? All right, tonight we're going to talk about what? We're going to talk about, where is Debbie and Denny? Uh-huh. Yeah, come up with a subject and then miss out. Come on now.
I thought that was Tracy.
Who?
I thought that was Tracy that came up with that.
Debbie came up with it first, and then Tracy, I think, reiterated that that's what it was going to be, you know, and I said, okay, that's fine with me.
Okay.
And that is respecter of persons. Are we to be a respecter of persons? That's the question. Anybody want to strike out on this? Where is that in the Bible? Andrew. Andrew knows.
That would be James 2 and 9.
Okay. That's one of them.
But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin. Being convicted by the law as transgressors. So we don't want to do that.
Mm-mm.
No.
James 2 and 9.
Yeah.
Yep. Let's see what my...
It almost sounds like he's making an idol out of that person.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. You ain't supposed to do that. We're supposed to be dead men walking, aren't we? We don't have no respect to person. There's Debbie. Was your ears burning? Uh-oh, they got to come in for a landing there. Hey, y'all. We just got started on respecter of persons, and Andrew read James chapter 2 and verse 9. Of course, but if you have respect of persons, you commit sin, being convicted by the law as transgressors. And there's another famous one too. Does anybody know where that is? Acts 10:34, I believe where it is. Yeah, Acts 10:34 and 35. Acts 10:34 and 35. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable to him. So God is not partial either, is he? But to men. But is he to anything else? What about it, y'all? Is God a respecter? God says he's not a respecter of persons here. And he says we're not to be respecter of persons. Andrew read that in James chapter 2. Is there any more out there? Anybody got another scripture that might show us, shed a little more light on this?
Dug up a couple there, Michael.
Okay.
Okay.
One that's right, you know, hits it right on the head too is in 2 Corinthians 5:16. And it said, wherefore, henceforth no man after the flesh, even though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now we know him no more. Wherefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, the old things are passed away, behold, they are become new. So all the brethren are, you know, in Christ, and their old person, it doesn't matter anymore.
Amen. Amen. Everybody's the same in Christ, aren't they? They ain't no. He said the feet and the head's the same, right? The whole body has a part. I have a part. You got a part. Everybody's got a part. And without that part working, it's not a whole body.
That'd be 1 Corinthians 12.
I've got Romans 10:12-13.
Romans 10:12-13.
no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. For whoever will call on the Lord will be saved.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
He could save anybody who calls upon him, no matter if you're Jew or Greek, man or woman.
Amen. Whosoever shall be saved. When you call upon the name of the Lord, what do? What is salvation? Let's just get into salvation for a little bit here now. What is salvation now? I'm not just talking to Debbie and Denny. I'm talking to everybody. What is salvation? Who was that? I saw that, Denny. Well, who was that? Okay. All right, what is salvation? Come on now. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, for me, you know, it's early teaching, but it was several years ago when David got into that, got into the Greek deal or whatever, and they talked to the old Greek man and asked him what it meant, and he said it was having all your needs met, like a little baby. That really hit home. The translation, not just what we think of salvation, but the literal meaning in the Greek was pretty profound and really deep and made a lot of sense out of all of that. So that's what I've always, when I hear salvation, I just go to, what is it, soteria? And that's what I think of when I hear that. It makes the gospel come a lot more alive.
Might want to unmute, Michael.
I don't know why. I was doing real good without it. That's right. That salvation, that word saved, is that word, is it saved or salvation? It means soteria. Anybody remember?
I thought it was salvation, but I'm not positive. But I think.
Okay. All right. Soteria, and that word soteria is what Tim was explaining there. That means our protection, our provision, our healing, our deliverance. Every aspect of our life is taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ through our faith. And through our faith. So how do we come to that part of it? How do we kind of, do we ask Jesus into your heart and all of that stuff that the preachers tell us on the streets, you know? No. What does God say? Repent and believe. Isn't that what he said?
Repent and believe.
Repent and believe. Believe what? Believe what Jesus did. He said, the things you've seen me do, you're going to do. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to walk in his steps. That's salvation. And let me ask another question. Is our salvation a one-time thing and you get your ticket punched and you can kick back? Once saved, always saved. Is that, what do we have to do then?
No, sir.
Do what?
No, it's not.
Endure.
Endure what? Enduring your faith, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we get saved, that's our spirit that's gotten saved, right? So then what has to be saved? There's three parts to this makeup of a human, right? What's the three parts? There's the spirit, the soul, and the body. All three of them have to be saved before you go to heaven, right? And you have to bear fruit of Jesus Christ in your life 30, 60, and 100-fold before you go. And they don't understand that. They don't even know what 30, 60, and 100-fold is. They look at that and they skip right over that because they don't understand. but our salvation is wrapped up in renewing your mind with the Word of God and faith, and believing what the Word says, and exercising your right as a child of God, and allowing God to work out all that garbage in you, right? Let me ask you a question. Is Michael Hare going to be going to heaven? Or is it the Jesus Christ in me that's going to heaven? That's right. It's the Jesus Christ in me. You got something, Denny, you want to share?
No, not right now.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
It's like in that verse there. For you to develop portions of Christ in your soul. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ, the Son of God? It's not whosoever, it's a whatsoever. Yeah, I remember the first time I read that, I went, is that a typo, Lord? Isn't that supposed to say whosoever instead of whatsoever?
Yeah.
And that one had to be explained to me for a long time. You know, it's every single portion of Christ and glory you get after that. And it was kind of neat how he opened that up to me.
Awesome. Amen. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it? Praise God. Yeah, it's going to be the Christ in us that goes to heaven. He said, you ain't going. He said, the only thing going to heaven is what's been descended out of heaven, right? That's the only ones going up. Those who have descended out of heaven is going up, back up into heaven. So we have to allow Christ to live in us. We do that by faith. Amen. All right, anybody else? Want to comment on respecter of persons or dying to self or salvation? We just got through with that book, Salvation Instant and Progressive, in our Bible study. Awesome book. No, we just started it. we just started it. That's right. Awesome book. Yeah, isn't it?
I got Luke 22:25. Okay. That's the one where Jesus is counseling all the apostles. And he says, and he said to them, the kings of the nations lord it over them, and who hath authority over them are called benefactors. Not so ye, however. The greater among you, let him become as the younger. And, of course, he's this is another time where there are no benefactors. So you're all in the one body here. And even the youngest of us could actually mention something that would even remind or bring to memory someone who it might dawn on him who is older in Christ of something else, or it might remind them of something. Even if a child of the Lord was to speak something, it might remind a teacher or a preacher of something. And that's the Lord who does that, because, you know, he's in control of all things. In control even like when you take shade under a shade tree, like he did with Nathaniel. When he's got that much control over everything, you know, it's sometimes hard to fathom that this is going on all the time. And it's kind of neat to always know that he's sovereign over all these things. So, not so ye, no benefactors. We are all part of the body of Christ. From the youngest of us to the most mature of us, and we have to love the young ones anyway.
Amen. Well, 27 kind of plays into that too. He said, for which is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? He said, but I am in the midst of you as he that serveth. Amen. Let's eat and drink at his table, right? Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, another one that I ran into as far as a respecter of persons was in 2 Chronicles, going to the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles 19:7. Now, therefore, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of bribes. So the Lord, there's another one. There's another witness right there that the Lord is not a respecter of persons. And that's what we're supposed to be walking in his steps, right? Amen.
I have an Old Testament one, Michael.
Okay.
It's in my own Bible reading this morning, my daily thing I follow. Deuteronomy 1, verse 16 through 17a.
Okay.
I instructed the judges, you must be perfectly fair at all times, not only to fellow Israelites, but also to the foreigners living among you. When you make decisions, never favor those who are rich. Be fair to lowly and great alike. Don't be afraid of how they will react, for you are judging in the place of God.
Okay, Deuteronomy 15, you say?
No, I'm sorry, 1, verse 16 and 17, the first part of 17.
Oh, okay. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between a man and his brother, and the sojourner that is with him. You shall not respect persons in judgment. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You write that down. Anybody else get one? Okay. Anybody else find one on respect of persons? I did. Job. Let's go to Job. See what Job has to say. Job 34:19. That respecteth not the persons of princes, nor regardeth the rich more than the poor, for they all are the work of his hands. That's another one. Amen. Anybody get another one down in the Old Testament? I'm sure there's a whole bunch of them in there. I just kind of glanced through the concordance and went through there.
Well, I have another one, Job 13:10.
Okay, Job 13:10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
He shall surely reprove you if you secretly show partiality.
Don't want to show partiality.
No.
He'll smack you every time.
Right upside the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, anybody else?
I got one, Michael.
Okay, Missy.
Trying to figure out where to start here.
Start in the Bible.
Genesis 1:1.
Oh, no. Funny,
no. Okay, well.
Revelation 24.
Romans 2:11, but let's see here. I was trying to find the beginning of this, of Jesus. Here, Paul with his run-on sentences again.
Where you at?
Romans 2:11.
What was the book again?
Romans 2:11.
Okay. No, I thought we'd already had that one.
Did we?
I guess not.
Maybe we did, and I just totally missed
it. I had it written down. That was me. I had gotten it already. Go ahead.
Geez, I don't know where to start with that.
Just read
10.
But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without the law shall also perish without the law, and as many as have sinned under the law shall be judged by the law.
So how'd that play a part in that?
Well, it just says, you know, not to, God's not being a respecter of persons, you know, he's going to, you know, he doesn't let someone off and then judge someone else for.
You're right. Verse 13.
Yeah, I was about ready to go there.
Go ahead.
For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified.
What does that mean?
Gentiles that have not the law do by nature the things of the law, these not having the law are the law unto themselves, and that they show the works of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness therewith, their thoughts one with another, accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel by Jesus Christ.
Okay, let's back up here. Verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. What does that mean?
Well, it makes me think of, faith without works is dead.
Yep.
You know, don't say you have faith if you don't have the works. You can speak it all you want, but you have to have works. You have to have action to back it up.
Yeah. What would you do if you're... Yeah. Yeah. What would you... How would you act if you've been healed by the Lord Jesus Christ, or you prayed the prayer of faith for the Lord? Do you run to the doctor? No. You believe God. And you start speaking it with your mouth. You confess it with your mouth. That's the works that God's looking for. Confessing God before men.
Mm-hmm.
So
And the works is not going to the doctor.
Yep.
That's the action that backs up what you speak. You know, walk the walk and talk the, talk the walk. You know, walk the talk and well, you know what I'm saying.
Okay.
You can't just talk it, you gotta walk it.
Yeah, that's true. You can talk it all day long and not walk it and still not have faith, right? And that ain't gonna get you into that realm of 30, 60, and 100-fold. He's looking for actions. He's not just looking for you to listen. He's looking for you to step out in faith. All of us to step out in faith. You know, It might even be something in your life that you've been believing God for. Not just healing, but let's say you've got this little catch in your spirit that's been hindering your walk with the Lord, and you're believing Him for it. And then just one day you just realize, hey, I don't have a problem with that anymore, and that God has taken it away from you because you endured in your faith to believe that it's being gone, that God's taken it from you. I've had that happen to myself. And if, you know, there's some things now. Look, I was talking with, we talked about a while ago about somebody had a dream about, I forget what the essence of it was, of sweeping the garbage out of the church, you know, out of the fellowship. And, and praying for people that are struggling in the fellowship, praying for each other. And that's what we need to be doing right now. That's where we need to be focusing our prayers, is for those who might be struggling, those who are struggling. And so that's what we do. You know we have people here on the fellowship here that we need to be praying for, and be remembering everybody that has had problems in the past, and just keep them lifted up to the Lord and watch what happens. Glory to God. That's what I do. I love to watch God answer them. I wish that I had been like, what's that? Mueller, Robert Mueller, that guy that prayed all the time. Wasn't he the prayer guy, missionary prayer guy? And he kept a log.
George Mueller.
Who?
George Mueller.
George? Okay, wasn't he the guy that kept the all his prayers written down? And
he
forget.
He had over 10,000 orphans.
Yeah. Yeah. And he did it by prayer. He didn't tell anybody what he needed. All he did was just pray. Lord, you know what we got here.
Told God.
Yep, he just told God. And things, and he wrote it down. He'd write it down, and the day he wrote it down, when he prayed to the Lord, and then he'd write it down when his prayer was answered. And I forget how many prayers he had answered in that book, but it was up in the tens of thousands that he had answered. And somebody asked him one time, said, how many of them did the Lord answer for you? He said, all of them. Every one of them he answered, because he'd make that prayer and he knew God was going to do it. That's where God wants us. When you pray, just believe that don't worry about it. Rest in the knowledge that you're going to trust God to answer that prayer, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. God knows what you need. He knew what that man, I don't remember, Merle, how many of those buildings they built over there in England to house those orphans, but it was a bunch of them, wasn't it? Some of them are still standing. Yeah, some of them are still standing. That man was a prayer warrior. Praise God, and that's what we ought to be, too. We ought to be, you know, and I'm guilty. I have laxed in my prayer walk my whole walk. You know how we get when things are getting drastic around us, oh, we'll go to the prayer closet 10. But we need to be doing it every day, glory to God. Y'all have heard some of those things that I related on the Bible study with Andrew Murray and E.M. Bounds that were just powerful preaching on prayer and how important it is in our life. That's the basis of our life, is prayer time with God. That's how you listen to God and how you're supposed to listen to Him. You know, that's what I try to do that every day now since I've been reading those. Man, I tell you what, revival starts from prayer. Your family gets saved by your prayers. And that's something you ought to be lifting up every day, you know. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, that you saving Blake. I'm thanking, Lord, you're making a great preacher out of him. You know, and that's the way we do it. That's, you confess it to God and you praise God for it. Boy, you'll see it happen. I praise God that, Lord, you know, when Blake got sent to prison, I kept praying. I thank you, Lord, that he ain't going to have to serve that whole 20 years that they gave me. He was out within a year. That's God. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. Praise God. And so that's what we do. We pray. All right. Anybody else get a respecter of persons verse? Anybody mention? Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Have you done Colossians yet?
No, hadn't done that one.
Okay. Colossians 3, and I'm going to start in 24.
Okay.
Okay. Knowing that from the Lord ye shall receive the recompense of the inheritance, ye serve the Lord Christ. For he that doeth wrong shall receive again for the wrong that he hath done. There is no respect of persons.
Okay. So if you do wrong, it don't make no difference who you are. You're going to get it, right? All right. That's what it says to me.
Yeah.
You can look for that thrashing. Go ahead, Missy. I hear that, baby.
And just because God delays in it does not mean that he ain't going to smack you for it. Some people think God doesn't hear or know because he doesn't do something right away. They think they got away with it and that God's not going to do anything, but he's just waiting for the time that it's going to
make an impact.
Right. Make the most impact.
Amen. Yeah, I've had that happen to me too, and it ain't fun. But you know instantly what's going on, don't you? Yeah. Don't look at me with them holy looks. I know every one of you has been smacked before by the Lord. Glory to God. He says that he loves. He wouldn't do that to us unless he loved us, to get us, discipline us, and get us in the right path again. Okay, anybody else? Hey, Dave. Go ahead, Tim.
Well, it doesn't use exact, the words of know no person by the physical, but also in Colossians 3:9, seeing that you put off the old man with his doings and have put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bondman, freeman, but Christ is all and in all. That's kind of the good part of knowing no man by the flesh, as opposed to the other part that Matt just read there, or the evil, knowing no man by the flesh.
Amen. That's it. You're born again Christian. You're not the top man on the totem pole. Go ahead, Andy.
I have a question. Okay. My question has to do with in the book of Acts chapter 10, mm-hmm. When Peter has his dream and he's on the roof and he fell into a trance and he has the sheep there and the Lord is instructing him not to count anyone as common and then later on there was a mistake left made I forget what word they used to call it, an inconsistency or something where he stopped sitting with and eating with the Gentiles. So I was kind of wondering if counting people common is a respect of person thing.
Yeah, where are you? Acts 10, what?
Acts 10, you know, he had the dream where he wasn't supposed to call anyone common whom he has cleansed.
Oh, okay.
So I was just kind of wondering if that is a respected person thing. And when he left from sitting down and eating with the Gentiles, and then Paul had to remind him about his dream here. If that was a respect of persons too, a respect for the old kind of Testament thing they were used to doing it when it came to Gentiles.
Do you mean when Peter got back under the law with the Jews, tried to get them all circumcised? Yeah. That, remember what Paul told him?
Yeah. He reminded him of his dream, actually. Yeah. Yeah. So that would have been respected persons there too. But aren't those people are not even saved yet. In the case of Cornelius here, he wasn't saved yet. You know, he was still an Old Testament guy, mm-hmm. Cornelius. And then because he wanted righteousness and because he was doing charity, giving people money, God sent him an angel. So, and this was before his salvation. So, I was kind of wondering if that kind of stuff could happen today. You know, where a person is sent an angel to receive the salvation message, you know.
Well, how many times have you read about, I know I've read a lot, about Jesus himself showing up in Muslims.
Yeah, I've heard
families.
That here. Yeah. I heard that on the, yeah. Wow, yeah.
Yeah, he'll show up, and many of them in dreams, and sometimes in a vision, and tell them, you know, I've heard of many of them, he'll tell them, well, why do you persecute me? And just the same thing he told Paul.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll change to, because they know that he was Jesus because of, he'd show them the holes in his arm, in his hand, and in his leg, or his feet, I mean. And they understood that that was Jesus. They turned, man, knowing that they might get killed. Man, that's God's love and grace upon them, isn't it?
Amen.
My gracious. Now, he's not a respecter, is he?
No.
He goes into Muslim jihadists. Mm-hmm. I've heard of jihadists. I'm talking about people going out there hurting folks, just like Paul, and changing them. Amen. In a heartbeat. You can't. Yeah, I'll tell you something else, Andrew. We can't put God in a box. He can save anybody. I know the most vile person out there can be saved. I can tell you a story about four gentlemen that I knew in Tucker Maximum Security Prison in Arkansas, that all four of them were on death row, going to be executed for murdering folks. Vile men, evil men, but God. They received God as their Lord and Savior, and they started having Bible studies. These four men, on death row, they started having Bible studies together. And out of those four men, this is what I know for a fact, three of them got out. One of them had gotten off the other one had gotten off a death row and was the chaplain's assistant in the prison, and he was looking to get out. That is the grace of God. Amen. It didn't, don't get me wrong, it didn't happen immediately. It took years for God to bring these people to a likeness of him, and every one of them, is it thundering there, Missy? I saw lightning out in the back of your window. It took years for God to get these men to the place to where he could trust them outside the prison, you know. But once he got them there, they were out. I'm telling you, that was, I'd never seen anything like that. Four of them. Three of them were out. Now, this was 15 years ago. Probably 15 years ago. So I wouldn't doubt that this other guy's out, too. So, yeah. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy?
In 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called
Abinadab. Uh-oh. Did lightning get you? Miss it? Y'all are frozen time. Y'all are frozen time. Okay. Let me see what she's going with this. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. Did she come back? They went off, didn't they? Okay. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. And then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither hath Jehovah chosen this. Then he got all the rest of them and passed them before. Then he asked him, he said, is there any more of them boys you got, bud? He said, well, there's only one left. That's old David, a little David out there. Go get him. So I don't know where she was going with this. Is anybody? Want to venture? Go ahead, Matt.
That, you know, God's not a respecter of person on what we judge on the outside. He's a respecter of person of what we now call faith or what's on the heart. You know, he knows the heart of what man's going to do.
He knew David had some faith, didn't he? He knew his heart. And he knew that he was a fighter for God. So, yep, you're right.
Well,
praise God.
David had that New Testament knowledge in the Old Testament, you know, the way he treated his enemies and, you know, he wouldn't stretch forth his hand to God's anointed and everything, you know.
Yeah. Amen. There, Missy, you're back. She's doing miracle
the electricity.
Stuff.
The electricity went out, and then now we lost our internet. So
okay.
I'm putting off data right now.
Okay. So what point were you making with that when all the boys went before Samuel?
Well.
Uh-oh. How convenient. Just kidding, Missy. I don't think you can hear me, but anyway.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Jackie.
Hey, brother. It's we're having really bad storms up this way the last 2 days and today. It's, like, really bad, and Missy's about a half hour east of me, so she might be dropping everything. That's why I'm on the phone tonight, too.
Yeah, she said she lost electricity, and she's on the phone, but she lost the phone, too.
Yeah. So, well, praise the Lord. My electricity came back on and my phone is working. So.
Okay. Amen. Praise God. Well, you want to pray against that storm?
Yes.
Okay.
Would you pray?
Yeah, I'll pray.
Yeah, pray for us. Because around here it's flooded. I mean, my neighbors, a lot of my neighbors had water coming in their basements. And praise God, I didn't have anything coming in this house yet. Mm-hmm. I didn't look night since I come home because the power must have been off. When I pulled in, I mean, it was just downpouring, and I got out to punch the code in the garage, and the garage door wouldn't go up, and I'm like, seriously? So I hopped back in my car, and I drove up to the top of the house, and I tried running in that way, and I was just sopping wet by the time I came in.
Oh, my. Okay. Yeah, let's pray. Hey,
yes.
Missy, we're going to pray for the weather up there, okay? In the name of yes. Jesus, right now, we command that bad weather to stop right now up there where Missy and all Barbara and Jackie and Marlene and who else? Any of God's chosen up there, we command you to go around them in Jesus' name. We command all that bad weather to just go around all of them in Jesus' name right now. We thank you, Father, that our prayers are answered. And I ask, Lord, and I pray that you restore Missy's electricity and Jackie's too. And any of the other women up there that have lost their electricity in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah, Matt.
Amen.
And
thank
Rob
you.
Too.
And Rob too, yeah. Is it headed up there too?
He might be getting
it. Yeah, okay. Yep, Lord.
We command flooding any waters to recede that are up. And we command them to recede quickly in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. No more water. Water, you will not come up. Not now, another inch. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Might bring a couple of big old bass by the door. A couple of big old catfish would be good, too. Glory to God. We could have a fish fry then. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Hey, Missy, did you want to venture to talk about David again? Hello. Can you hear me, Missy? She doesn't have the bandwidth, I guess.
Looks like she's going in and out.
Yeah. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, I can hear you. I think I got the internet back, so I'm trying to get back on with my tablet. Oh,
okay, well, you go ahead. We'll talk about you while you're doing that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Anybody else get a verse on respecter of persons and would like to expound on it?
Michael, I got 2 Corinthians 5, 15 and 16.
Okay.
And he died for all that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer.
Amen.
So I thought that was good that's a way that we don't have respect for anybody, and especially each other. If we see Christ in each other, so.
Yep. Amen. You back, Missy? Okay. Boy, that was quick. Got the electricity back. Okay, did you want to expound on David any? On 1 Samuel, on that? 1 Samuel, what did you want to say about that?
Well, just that, you know, God doesn't look on the person and you know, their outward appearance. And it's kind of like, you know, That's how Saul was picked. He stood heads above everybody else, and look what happened with him. They wanted the king. Well, they got what their flesh wanted. And you know, David was just this, he was the youngest of all his brothers, and he was just this little guy, but he was had big, bold faith, you know, and God picked him because, you know, I think early on he was a man after God's heart. He wanted the heart of God, you know, and the faith.
Amen.
Like we were saying at the end on Tuesday about, you know, God's a respecter of faith.
Yep.
So.
He does. He loves our faith. That's good. All right. Anybody else? Get a scripture about respecter of persons. It doesn't have to say respecter of persons. We've given quite a number here without even that in there. It's just, you know, it shows you. Yeah, Tim.
Well, I find it kind of humbling, and it speaks about the respect of persons, but not in so many words. But kind of a reminder for everyone is in Titus, at the end there in chapter 3, verse 2, you know, speak evil of no man, not to be contentious, to be gentle, showing all meekness towards all men. For we also were foolish, were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. Kind of, you know, remind not to be a judge, because we've all been on the other side of it, and through, you know, the grace of God, we're coming out of that.
We ain't got nothing to brag about, do we? I'm telling you. Everything that any Christian has gotten came from God. Everything. And that's one of the first lessons I learned from David that God had taught him, was that particular thing right there. You ain't got nothing that you need to be proud about, because it all came from God. Every bit of it. The knowledge that people have about the Word of God, they don't need to be puffed up about that, because they didn't do nothing. God did it for them and gave it to them. And that's a lesson learned. I don't need to be puffed up about anything. You don't need to be puffed up about anything, because it all comes from God. Yeah, Tim.
Well, one more thing. I was thinking about this today, as you know, when we, for myself anyways, and I imagine it's this way for everyone else, is when we do get a victory and we think, well, there, I've overcome that, or I bit my tongue there, and you know, I'm coming along, and I'm starting to make progress, and then it must be God. He comes back and says, yeah, you did okay on that one, but now look at all this other stuff where you still need to keep working. You got a ways to go there. When you feel like you got a victory, it just opens your eyes to there's so much more that you didn't see before. But now that you're thinking you're making some progress, you still got so much further to go.
Amen. And you know something about that? I'm glad you brought that up, because there are some people. That man, they look at me, man. I'm climbing, and then God goes to the root of a problem and tries to get that out of them, and that's when they start bucking, and that's where faction sets in. I've seen that happen time and time and time again. They don't like correction. So yeah, God's not a respecter of person. Everybody's going to get it all ripped out of them if they live long enough, right? And that's the great part about it, is because God's the one doing it, and because he's done it, I mean, my sin is no worse than your sin. It's all sin, you know. It don't make any difference what it is. And that's why when we listen to confessions, nothing surprises us anymore. y'all know what I'm talking about. There's, people's got all kinds of confessions of sins that they have, and nothing surprises, you know. It doesn't make any difference. That sin ain't no worse than the little sin that you think that you have, you know. I lied the other day. Well, this other guy over here might have murdered 15 people, you know, but if he repents, hey, if he truly repents from the heart, is he any less accounted righteous as me that repented from a lie? No. No. He has got that righteous garment on just like I do. And I don't need to be puffed up because the only sin I had was a little old lie. But if you look back in my heart, and I've got a little envy there because he did save that boy, there's some darkness there. I thought I'd throw that in there. Ain't no sin that anybody has that's any worse than anybody else's sin. That's what I'm trying to get at. That's the way God looks at it. Amen. If Hillary Clinton would repent, the earth would just suck itself dry. No, I don't. But you know what? If she did, you talk about a testimony, glory to God, man alive, people would come flocking to the altar, I believe. Because they'd say, well, if God can save that woman, you know, I got a chance. Praise God. Well, that's the way Paul was. Paul was out there killing folks or having it done. All right. Anybody else get a verse? I got another, but I'm going to wait and see if somebody gets it first. I'm going to give y'all a chance to get it. There's at least one more in that Bible. I'm telling you, there's one more. Because I saw it. Anybody know what it is? Let's see if I can find it here. I figured somebody would get this one.
Michael?
Hey, Gaynold, how you doing, girl?
Oh, pretty good.
Awesome.
I was just wondering if the one you were thinking of was 1 Peter 1:17.
Bingo. That was it.
Yeah, I had looked it up a while ago, and I just thought, well, maybe that was the one you were thinking of.
That's it. You want to go ahead and relate it?
Sure. And if ye call on him as Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to each man's work, pass the time of your sojourning in fear, knowing that ye were redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver or gold, from your vain manner of life handed down from your fathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot, even the blood of Christ. Anyway, it goes on. Anyway, so... I thought maybe it was.
Yeah. How do you know that?
Well, I don't know, because I was looking at these verses.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, I guess that's all.
Okay, thank you, Gaynell. Mm-hmm. Y'all doing okay?
Yep, we're doing fine. We sure could use some rain, though. We could use some of that water they're having up in where Jackie and all those ladies live.
Yeah.
It's very, very dry here. We haven't really had a significant rain since May 20th, so it's been a while.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, it has. Well, you want us to pray for it? We can all believe with you.
Well, sure.
Yeah. Well, Lord, we just thank you that Marlon and Gaynold and that region up there gets a good rain, Father, here in the next few days. And I thank you for it, Father, that they get a good, slow, soaking rain in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that it's going to be a miracle rain, that people won't know where it came from, where that come from. And they'll be able to tell. And well, that we pray that in here for y'all. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I believe that.
You know, there were some really bad storms here, like Tuesday night. Well, I think it was when the conference call was on, because we got knocked off and we couldn't get back on. But there were areas, oh, like 100 miles from us, they had over 6 inches. And just probably, I don't know, is it be 40 miles or so, they had over 75 mile per hour winds and just tremendous wind damage. And it was pretty widespread. It was a lot of miles and just a lot of damage. So we thank the Lord that we didn't have any of that. We prayed that around because it was definitely not looking good out. So I think Marlon even mentioned it on Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, because we prayed that it would go over or go around, one or the other, and it did. It just kind of developed right east of us and moved on east. Anyway, we thank the Lord for that we didn't get any of that.
Well, I'll tell you what, David and I have prayed those big thunder boomers come in. Lord, we thank you for bringing the rain and no storms with it. And it's happened. So we can do that too. Lord, the next time you get something coming up, we're just going to pray the rain in and the storm out. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, that was all.
All righty. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Matt, go ahead.
Not me.
Hey, Michael, I think another one, good one, is Jonah 4:11. This is
Wait a minute. Let me get there. Jonah 4:11?
Uh-huh.
Okay, go ahead.
This is where Jonah is waiting to see the destruction of Nineveh, and he's angry about the gourd. And I think regard is a very similar word there to, you know, respect. And the Lord said in verse 11, and should not I have regard for Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 70,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? You know, he's having regard for them, you know. He's not, you know, Jonah was angry because, you know, they respected between the Gentiles, you know, and the Jews. You know, they had respect to persons. And here God was saying that he didn't. He, you know, he would have regard for them. He wasn't having respect for the Jews above them, you know. And it made Jonah angry. But I just think it's kind of neat, you know, how God had regard for them enough to send Jonah and then to spare him too. You know, he said they couldn't even tell between their right hand and their left hand. I think it's just pretty cool how God, you know, really does, you know, have so much mercy.
Yep. Amen. Thank you, Lord. He's got a lot of mercy and grace. Hey, Obadiah, what you screaming about, boy? Say, I want to be heard in this house. Come on now. Somebody going to find out I'm in here, glory to God.
Did you guys talk about Simon the musician?
No, go ahead.
Let's read it. I'll read it real quick. I'm going to start in Acts. I'm going to use the ESV just so it's a little easier to understand.
Okay.
Acts 8, start in verse 9. There was a man named Simon who had previously practiced magic in the city and amazed people of Samaria, saying that he himself was somebody great. They all paid attention to him, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the power of God that is called great. And they paid attention to him because for a long time, he had amazed them with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued with Philip. And seeing the signs and great miracles performed, he was amazed. Now when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John. who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of hands of the apostles, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone whom I may lay my hands on may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter said to him, "May your silver perish with you, because you thought you could obtain the gift of God with money. You have neither part nor lot of this matter, for your heart is not right before God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness of yours, and pray to the Lord that it is possible the intent of your heart may be forgiven. For I see that you are in the gall of bitterness and bond of iniquity." And Simon answered, "Pray for me to the Lord that nothing of what you have said may come upon me." I think that's a good testimony as far as here we see the world and the way it thinks, and people look for greatness and they see wonderful things and they ooh and ah over people, and you see that in the church with the pastors, and you see that with the Catholic Church and the bishops and everything else, all that ceremonial stuff. And now you get this musician in Paul's time.
Uh-oh. I think we lost him.
The word, walking and being with Jesus and finding out about salvation. But you still see Simon. Simon, he still has it in his heart that he wants to be somebody. He wants to be part of the kingdom, but he still wants to be somebody, and he wants to carry that forward. And the reason why he wants to be able to lay on hands is because he still keeps that respect. Hey, look, I'm still good. I'm still doing. I may be transferred teams, but I'm still getting that respect that I like. And that's not what it's about. It's about dying to self. It's never about you. It's about the kingdom of God and seeing it fruition and seeing people get set free and getting the Holy Spirit, but it's never about you. Simon still had his eyes on himself, even though he understood about the gospel.
Amen. Simon looked like Simon had the spirit of rejection, too.
Yeah, it didn't go over well. He was rebuked.
Not spirit of rejection, but unforgiveness in his heart. He had bitterness.
He said bitterness, yeah.
Yeah. I wonder what kind of signs and wonders that man had.
But, you know, it's probably good that he got rebuked, because I got a feeling he probably repented. I mean, what better person than the apostle to take him right to task and see right through him and help him out? Maybe help him out, you know, to give him some straight talk, to set him straight. Because sometimes I've been, who all here has been set straight? I have.
Amen.
And somebody just tells you and floors you. And you're thinking, oh, not me. Oh, not me, Lord. But sometimes that's what we have to hear. Who was that guy? He wrote about demons and deliverance a little bit, and he was that sheriff cop, and he became a pastor, and then he died, and the Lord showed him around, and then he showed him and he wanted to go up farther, and he says, "No, let me show you what your task would be. It would be hell because of his way he was with his wife. He was treating his wife for something. Had unforgiveness or something." You know what I'm talking about?
Well, I think you got two of them mixed up.
Do I get two of them mixed up? All right.
I think one of them was Howard Pittman.
Howard Pittman, that's it.
Yeah. He was the Baptist pastor that
right.
died. And went up there, and then the Lord showed him, said, "Here's your heart, you know, you're consigned to hell." Took him through hell, and then, of course, he took him through heaven and told him he's going to send him back to tell his people what they should be doing. Yeah, and he wrote all those books on demonology, demons and the different kinds and that kind of thing.
Well, I think sometimes we need to be, somebody needs to show us our heart, because maybe we're deceived. Maybe we're going the wrong path and we wouldn't realize it until somebody like the Lord or whoever exposes it so we can see it for what it is. And then we're able to turn and repent and change, you know.
I mean, it looks like Simon got to fear God all over him in verse 24 when he said, and Simon answered and said, pray ye for me to the Lord that none of the things which you have spoken come upon me. That looked to me like the fear of the Lord, didn't it?
Absolutely. That's a wonderful thing. You see repentance, you see.
Amen.
You see somebody really, I think his heart's being changed. He's seeing.
Yeah.
He's, you know, yeah.
I believe so. Okay, that's good. All right, anyone else get a something?
I got another one, Michael.
Okay, Miss.
Matthew 2020 vision.
All right.
Then came to him the mother of the sons of Zebedee with her sons, worshiping him and asking a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, what wouldest thou? She saith unto him, command that these two sons may that these my two sons may sit, one on thy right hand and one on thy left hand in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered her and said, ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink the cup that I am able to drink? They say unto him, we are able. She thought her sons were something, I guess.
Well, she was trying to get a spot for him, wasn't she? She wanted them to have that position, the title. Look at me, man. I'm on the right hand of Jesus. And then the other one, yeah, look at me. I'm on the other side of Jesus. Glory to God.
Ah. I wonder what she thought when she sees Jesus on the cross, after she thought about what she said.
That's a wonderful thought right there, David. Yep. Well, I don't remember what happened to those two boys, but they might have been crucified too, you know. I don't remember. All of them were killed except for John. And that's why the Lord told him.
Well, yeah, that's...
Gracious, what was that?
That was me. My son. Anyways.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, that's what, you know, the Lord said, are you able to drink of the cup that I'm about to drink? And then she came to him right before, you know, his crucifixion. And so, yeah, and they said, yea, Lord. And he said, you will drink of the cup that I am about to drink.
Yeah.
So we're crucified.
Amen.
I mean, think about it today. What if the Lord told us, hey, get ready, tomorrow you're going to be on your cross?
I know what I know what most of us would say. Well, wait a minute, Lord, let's talk about this. I suspect that's probably what would happen. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm reminded of that clip that I saw a few years ago of those African men that were being burnt alive, and all of them were trying to get away except one old man, and he was bringing the bushes up on him to burn, and he wasn't feeling any pain. He was going to go see Jesus. I hope and I pray that I can be that way if that ever happens to me. Those men, men that were beheaded, those Coptic Christians that were beheaded out there over there in Muslim. I don't remember how many it was, 7 or 8 of them, that just went like a lamb to slaughter. You know where they're at, don't you? At the foot of Jesus. They're praying on the throne with Jesus. And those people in that bus that got slaughtered, when they'd ask them, will you switch to Muslim? Or are you going to stay Christian? You stay Christian, we're going to kill you. And every one of them said, no, we're going to stay with Jesus. Bam. We're going to stay with Jesus. Bam. We're going to stay with Jesus. And they killed him one by one, just like that.
And you know darn well, as they were killing him, the people were in the bus or nearby. They knew what was going on.
Yep. Yeah, they knew what was going on. but they loved the Lord. It didn't make any difference what their doctrine was. They loved the Lord more than they loved their life. And that was real evident. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of people who are going to have to give up their life in the days ahead. And I pray that we all have the faith and the fortitude to stay with Jesus. It's going to be some that don't. They're going to change, you know. They're going to say, oh, no, let's thank you, Allah, or whatever, you know. A lot of them are going to stay with Jesus. All right.
Well, I think I say the Lord tells us not to worry about what we're going to say that hour because the Father will speak through us.
He said death has no sting, too, didn't he? I believe that's talking about those martyrs. They're not going to have any sting.
That's the only thing I think. When you mentioned that guy's burning, and I watched that. I did find that video. He pulled his foot back in the fire. Put himself. Everybody else was squirming. He pulled himself right back in that fire. And all I can think is he was not feeling that because I know what fire feels like. I've had it a couple times now. I've had to burn my skin off, and that is painful. It is very painful when it happens.
Yep.
You feel the burn. It doesn't go. It's like you're on fire. And that guy was calm. All I can think is the Lord took all that away. He wasn't feeling it.
I believe the Lord's glory was all over that man.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Andrew.
Yeah, just one more verse. Proverbs 28:21. To have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. So, what kind of piece of bread is this? Is my question. Is this guy gonna, could it be not good bread, or could it be the bread of the word even? Because this other person may have spoken a word, and it could have been making sense to him out of the Bible, and he changes and goes with that guy, you know, or something. So I just want to know, what piece of bread is that in 28:21 of Proverbs? Because
can I read another passage? That's the only way sometimes I can understand these. I went to the Bible Basic English, and reinterpret it this way. It is not good to have respect for a man's position, for a man will do wrong for a bit of bread. So it sounds like somebody's trying to get ahead for whatever reason, for the getting that respect of person thing going. You know, he'll do that. You know, he's for whatever it is that he'll do to get that bread. I may be wrong, but that's what I saw out of that. But go ahead.
If you're talking, Michael, we can't hear you.
Well, that's the reason for that, because I wasn't talking. I lost the proverb.
I was thinking about that. About for a piece of bread, he'll do wrong. Is you know, feeding his flesh. He would feed his flesh for even though he's showing partiality.
Yeah, that's what came to my mind too. Is feeding his flesh.
Okay. All right, we'll go for that. That sounds good to me. Anybody else come up with anything on that? I'm going to look at that some more.
I was just wondering, because of the next verse after, the 22, it says, he that hasteneth to be rich hath an evil eye. So maybe something was trying to grab this guy to accept something else and make him transgress. I don't know.
Yeah, could be. Sounds like he was lusting after the bread, don't it?
Mm-hmm.
Or something to eat. That's a good one. Okay, we're running out of, it's getting closing time here. Let me ask this. What do y'all want to talk about Tuesday? I'll tell you what, let's do, if you want to. I'll throw it out there and y'all tell me if that's what you want to do. let's talk about, we touched on it a little bit tonight. Let's talk about salvation. The four ramifications of salvation. That David has a book out called Salvation, Instant and Progressive. What does that mean? So let's talk about that next Tuesday night, if that's what y'all want to do. That sound okay? All right. That sound okay? Shake your head, yeah. Okay, Willie. All right. Well, that's okay. We'll just do that then. If you don't have a copy of it, you can get it on site. It's in PDF form, or you can order one from Lulu. And that's on the website as well. So I would recommend that. And I thought maybe we might just talk about that a little bit too, maybe next Tuesday and Thursday too. It's a good revelation for people who come out of mainline denominational churches. It's a good revelation. Is that okay? All right. Hey, Denny, would you mind praying for us out, get out of here to close us out? Not to get out of here. Let me unmute everybody. Yeah, go ahead, brother.
Okay, amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, we're just grateful to have this time together, Lord, to look into your word and to be drawn closer to you by it and gain understanding and wisdom and insight. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we pray for everyone to have a good night's rest tonight, and Lord, that they would be blessed, Father, coming in and going out, Lord Jesus. We just pray for your blessing on each one, God, on the call tonight. We just thank you for this church meeting. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Has the storm subsided, Missy and Jackie?
Yeah. Yep.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. It has here.
Yeah, that's what prayer does. Thank you, Lord. All right. Well, good night, everybody. We'll see you Thursday, if not sooner.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
God bless.
Hi, all.
Amen.
Is it so like a slob?